message you're about to listen to is from the altar of Impact House International Church. Stay blessed as you listen.
To God's presence, and I know that your coming will not be in vain in Jesus' name. I congratulate you for being here tonight, and I know that what you have come to meet will not disappoint you in Jesus' name. Can I hear your amen? It's another brand new month, and we are starting a brand new series from this Wednesday, and we'll take that throughout this month of February. To God alone be all the glory. It's the Turning Point series. And somebody here, things are going to turn around for your good this month in Jesus' name. Things are turning in your favor this month in the name of Jesus. Introduction to Turning Point. Introduction to Turning Point. What is Turning Point? I love definitions because definitions allows you to have a deeper, extended meaning, expanded meaning of what we are dealing with. What is Turning Point? Turning Point is the point of advancement, breakthrough, change of story for a person. It is the point to which a person gets to and he experiences advancement, he experiences breakthrough, he experiences a change of story, and of course the siege is broken in the life of that person. It is a situation of a change of story for a person. The turning point is the point where things turn. And for somebody here tonight, tonight is that night for you. I say tonight is that night for you. Turning point can be physical turning point. It can be health turning point. It can be financial turning point. It can also be a marital turning point or a career turning point. It can also be an educational turning point. The point at which the GPA of a person is going up and up and up. It can be a career turning point. The point at which the career of somebody takes a drastic turn. Tonight is your night. I say tonight is your night. If I were you, I would say a bigger, louder amen. If I were you, I would say a bigger and a louder amen. Nobody is permitted to live here tonight without his own share of this in the name of Jesus. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? And I know that your life will never be the same again. In the name of Jesus. In Isaiah 65 verse 21 and 22, the Bible says, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. Amen. They shall not build and another inhabit. Amen. They shall not plant and another eat. Amen. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hand. Amen. Also in Joel chapter 2 verse 26, Joel chapter 2 verse 26, he said, and ye shall eat in plenty. Amen. And be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you, and my people shall never, someone say never. And my people shall never be ashamed. Also in Isaiah 43 verse 18, Isaiah 43 from verse 18 to 19, Bible says, remember ye not the former things, neither ye consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. That's the turning point. The former thing was a point where things were not working well. Then you get to a point that is a turning point. You get to a point where the old pass away and a new thing come in. That is the point you are in now. I say that is the point you are in now. That is your point that your career is in now. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall ye not know it? I will even make a way in the wilderness and rivers in thy desert. That is, in your wilderness where there's nothing before, I will ensure that things change there. And in your desert where there was no water before, I will make sure that there are rivers flowing in the desert. That is strange order of turnaround. It's like going to the Sahara Desert and you see a sea there. It's not normal. It's a turning point. It's like you see somebody who was very, very poor before, and suddenly the person has more than enough. That's a turning point. Today will be somebody's turning point. When people see what God has done in your life, they will open their mouth, they will not be able to close it. Can I hear your amen? Can I hear your amen? Examples of those that experience a turning point. We'll give you just three examples quickly tonight. Examples of those that experience a turning point. Number one is Abraham. Abraham was living in his father's house until 75 years. I can't imagine how a man would be in his father's house. In fact, a man that is in father's house is 21 years has already overstayed. If you stay in your father's house till you are 21 years as a man, you have overstayed your welcome. Because at 25 years, you are already an adult. As a man. But this man stayed in his father's house up to 75 years until suddenly there was a turning point. In Genesis 12 verse 1 to 4. Genesis 12 verse 1 to 4. God appeared to him. And the Lord said unto Abraham, get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. Somebody say amen. That's what he called turning point. You were still in your father's house managing your father's BQ. You were still in your father's house managing. You are still shouting there, when are you bringing my soup with my fufu? In your father's house. He said, it's time to get out of your father's house. After graduation, I never went back home. From graduation, I went straight to work for free. Because of a scripture like this. He said, I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that cursed thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And the Bible says in verse 4, and Abraham departed. There will be a turning point for you today. There will be a turning point for you today. There will be a turning point for you today. Also, there was a drastic turning point in the life of Abraham. After he was advancing and he had a wife and all that. Bible says that his wife was barren. And God remembered her. Genesis 21 from verse 1 all to verse 3. God remembered Sarah. And the Lord visited Sarah as he has said. And the Lord did unto Sarah as he has spoken. That is, God made sure that she conceived. For Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age, at the set time of which God has spoken to him. And Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bore to him, Isaac. Sarah was also that was the wife of Abraham. And she was barren. She didn't have children. She was trusting God for children. She was believing God for a turnaround. And suddenly there was a visitation. That is how suddenly God will visit your family today. Suddenly God will visit your business today. Suddenly God will visit your career today. Can I hear your loud amen? Amen. Abraham and Sarah were dramatically visited. It reminded me of when my wife and I were trusting God for our first child. It was like a miracle the day my wife said, I'm now pregnant. That is how God is going to visit somebody's family here today. That is how God will visit somebody's family here today. This very day is your own day of visitation. Number two, example of those that experienced a turning point is a man called King Hezekiah. King Hezekiah was a massive king in Isaiah 38 from verse 1 to 5, but he was sick unto death. He was sick to the point that he was about to die. God sent a prophet to him. And in those days was Hezekiah sick unto death. And Hezekiah the prophet, and Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, came unto him and said unto him, thus saith the Lord, set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. The one of the greatest prophets in that time went to this man and said, it is time for you to die. It is time for you to give up the ghost. Tidy up your house. Write your will. And Hezekiah turned his face towards the wall and prayed unto the Lord. and said, remember now, O Lord, I beseech thee, how I have walked before thee in truth and with a perfect heart, and have done that which is good in thy sight. And Hezekiah wept sore. And then came the word of the Lord unto Isaiah, saying, go and say to Isaiah, to Hezekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of David thy father, I have heard thy prayer, I have seen thy tears. Behold, I will add unto thy days 15 years. This man was at a point of death. This man was at a point, whereby it's as if no other option is available. And then suddenly, God appeared to him. And then suddenly, God sent a prophet to him. I'm the prophet that God has sent to you tonight. You will not die young. Nobody in your family will die young. There will be a turnaround concerning your health. That health of your father, your mother, your brother, your sister, that health, there will be a turnaround today. Let me hear your loudest amen. Let me hear your loudest amen. I have seen my God turn it around. I have seen my God turn it around. There are so many times in my life that I have seen my God turn it around. God will turn it around for you tonight. And it will be to your favor. It will be to your favor. It will be to your favor. That change in management in your office will be to your favor. That change in leadership in that organization where you work will be to your favor. Everything will work out for your good. Let me hear your loudest amen. Hezekiah's health was extended for 15 more years. He experienced a turn around. Number three example of somebody that experienced a turnaround is the woman with the issue of blood in Luke 8, verse 41 to 48. Luke chapter 8, verse 41 to 48. This woman has suffered so much with doctors. Bible says, and behold, there came a man named Jairus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I think that that verse is just before that. Luke chapter 8, that same chapter 8. Somebody's here, your story is changing. Amen. I say your story is changing. Amen. I say your story is changing. Amen. If I were you, I would say a louder amen. Amen. From verse, I'll start from verse 43, not 41. Beg your pardon. That's just a typographical error. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which has spent all her living upon the physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment. Now let me summarize this story because of time. This woman was sick unto death. She was bringing out blood permanently and continuously. She had so much money, but every single dime doctors has collected it from her. I want to believe she had sold her house. I want to believe that if she had some gold that she uses for her earring, she must have sold it. I want to believe she must have sold her wedding band. I want to believe that everything that she had as an asset, she sold it, because health is wealth. Hello. Everything sold, and she still did not get well. Then one day she thought in her mind, let me go and touch Jesus. Let me go and touch the hem of his garment. And she walked there, because people with that kind of condition, they most of the time, more often than not, they begin to have a stinking smell. So she had to sneak into where Jesus was and touch him. You will touch Jesus tonight. Amen. Via this communion, you will touch the hem of his garment. And she came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately there was a turnaround. You might not be able to see Jesus physically tonight, but you can touch him through the communion. As you take the communion inside you, you can touch him, and the problems of your life will completely dry up tonight in Jesus' name. That sickness will dry up tonight in Jesus' name. That thing troubling your system, troubling your life, troubling your joy will be terminated tonight. If I were you, I would say louder amen. And Jesus said, somebody touch me. And the disciples said, we are all touching you. He said, no. You are not all touching me. Somebody with determination, touch me. He touched me. He touched me. I know
what joy
touched my soul. Something happened now. I know. He touched me. He touched me. Jesus can be touched tonight. He can be touched tonight. You can touch him tonight. And you can touch him because he is available in our midst. He is available in our midst. You can touch him and that problem will go. Somebody here will touch him tonight. Somebody here will touch him tonight. Somebody here will touch him tonight. You are not going back home the same way you have come. You are not returning back home the same way you have come here. You will touch God and it will translate to a testimony this Sunday. You will touch him and it will translate to a testimony this Sunday. The woman after she touched Jesus, and Jesus said, somebody touch me. She was so embarrassed. She came and said, I'm the one that touched you. And Jesus said, this woman, your faith has actually touched me. And go. You are blessed. Go in peace. And he said unto her, daughter, be of good faith. Thy faith had made thee whole. Go in peace. You will leave this auditorium in peace tonight. Everything that represents an apprehension, everything that makes you to have unnecessary palpitation of heart, that makes you to have unnecessary discomfort and fear of the future, shall vanish tonight. From tonight, you are living here with peace of mind. Over your children, peace of mind. Over your forthcoming exams, peace of mind. Over your academics, peace of mind. Over your building project, peace of mind. Over your studies, peace of mind. Over your marital life, peace of mind. Can I hear a louder amen? Can I hear a louder amen? Keys to turning point. Keys to assessing turning point. We'll give you about six or thereabout of them if God permits us. Five or six as God permits us tonight. Number one key to turning point is obedience. Somebody say obedience. In Job 36 verse 11. Job 36 verse 11. If they obey and serve me, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. If your desire is for things to turn, you have to obey him. If it is your desire for things to turn for the better for you, you have to obey him. In the book of John chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11, John chapter 2 from verse 1 to 11, there's a story there of when Jesus attended a wedding at Cana of Galilee. Bible says that all of a sudden the wine finished. And the mother of Jesus, Mary, went to Jesus and said, Jesus, we need wine. He said, my time has not come. He said, however, guys, go and fill these four pots. Go and load it with water. Go and load it with water. Simple instruction. When Jesus talks, you don't need to question him. When God speaks, you don't need to question him. He's the all-wise God. He's the all-knowing God. And the Bible says, he spoke to them, go and fill these water pots with water. And as they filled these water pots, he said, draw it out. And as he drew it out, the Bible says, it turned into wine. Simple instruction. Simple mandate. Many of us question God so much, and that's why things are not turning for us the way it should be. Everything that God says, we question it. Why? According to what? Where is it written in the Bible like that? Who said so? Then we begin to look at things from one perspective or another. In 2 Kings chapter 5, There's a story of a man that did like that. Second Kings chapter 5 from verse 1 to 14 of a story of a man called Naaman. He was a general in the army in Syria. Bible says he was a great man, but he was a leper. He was leprous, though he was a strong man. He was a man that was a warrior. He was more or less like the next to the president or the king in that place. And the Bible says a small servant, a small girl who was captured. Media, just follow me. Because of time, I can't go through it one by one, so I have to summarize all this. I'm still on point one, and I'm still going to six, so I need to move. Now, he had a slave, a lady, who was taking care of his wife, who was like his wife's maid. Somebody can send message, go and bring me that bucket, go and do this. And the girl said, Mommy, if you can talk to daddy, there is a prophet in Israel. There's a prophet in Samaria who can help you. There's somebody that can assist you. Then the woman went to the husband and told the husband. He was like, okay, let's. And they went to the king. And the king sent a message. You know all the story. To cut long story short, he went there and went to see the prophet. And the Bible says that as he got there, Prophet Elisha is a busy man. Maybe I'm a little bit as busy as he is. Very busy man. Very busy. Very, very busy. Doesn't have time for nonsense. And as he came to see him, it's a big man. Maybe he came with, you know, 15 cars. Wow, 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 wow. And the man was inside praying in tongues. Lakwatakata, ilakwatakata, rakatwaka, ilakatakata, lakwatakata, reketekatakata, lakwatakata, reketwaka, akutakata, likwatakata. As he was praying, his aide at the door knocked and slipped a paper under the door. Somebody is here to see you. He's the next to the president. He's leprous. He said, don't worry. And he wrote on the paper, tell him to go to Jordan and wash 7 times. And as he slipped the paper back, he did not bother to come out to see the man at all. He did not have greetings. There was no greeting at all between the prophet and that great man. And the man said, but Naaman was wroth. He was angry. My eye have seen nonsense today. Me that I went and dined with presidents of nations, including British president, American president. I connect with World Health Organization chairman. They even sleep in my house. A bloody pastor. He will not come out to see me. No, that's our father-in-law. By the way, he said sometimes, well, most of the time, people treat pastors like sleepers. They pastor. Yes, they pastor. He cannot come out to see me. Till forever. Go back to that place. That's in verse 11 where you are. He cannot come out to see me. I'm not. If the rivers in my place. Now look at it. And Naaman was wroth and went away and said, behold, I thought I will surely come out. He will surely come out to me. He did not come out at all. And stand and call out and say, yeah! And be shaking like this. He did not come out. And came and called on the name of the Lord, his God. And strike his hand over. Or place his hand on his forehead. Receive it. He did not shout. He did not bother to shout. Tell him to go and wash. And they strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. He said, I'm not going anywhere. He said, are not Abana and Papa, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? I should go and be washing in all this dirty water when I have swimming pool in my house. You can see how quick people question God. I should go and be washing all this dirty water when I have water that has chlorine? And this that has been disinfected in my house swimming pool, I will now be washing nonsense water. Tell him that Imishki Shebilumbawi. Go and tell your pastor that it can't be me. And no, may God surround you with good counsel. Amen. Can I hear amen?
Amen.
May God surround you with good counsel.
Amen.
Then one of his guys went to him and said, ah, sir. If they even tell you to do worse than this, won't you do it? If they tell you to do worse than this, won't you do it?
Let's just go. It means just to wash. Let us wash. Move. Don't stay here permanently like a static person. Next verse. His servant came near and spoke unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do great things, won't you? If the prophet said, oh, yeah, be jumping up, coming down, jumping up, coming down. Now, many of us, we like places where they drill us. We like places where they give us problems. In my place. I mean, you have not been expecting it. Because if you have not been expecting it, I pocket it back. I mean, you have not been expecting it. They say, if one is full, it will be you looking for something that will bust the stomach. If the stomach of a person is full, it will now be walking around something, my stomach must bust. You know what I mean. I don't want to interpret it for you. You know it. Many of us, the simple instructions of God, we commonize it. Simple things. God is not a complex God. God is not a complex God. I don't need to come here and use my head to hit this place and blood is coming out before you know that there's anointing. I first use my head to hit this place. Then this place, you move contour and say, the pastor has anointing too. The Bible says he went there and washed, and immediately he washed, his skin was as clean as that of a newborn baby. His skin was so clean that it was as if, how many of us have seen a newborn baby before? Clean skin, mega clean, super clean. That was the way this guy's skin. Why? Because he was. May God give you the spirit of obedience. I said, may God give you the spirit of obedience. I said, may God give you the spirit of obedience. Fasting and prayer will not replace obedience. So, fast from now to tomorrow. If you are not an obedient person, you are not going anywhere. Fast from now to tomorrow. And you are not obedient to what God is saying. Forget it. Till forever. Obedience is key. Obedience is crucial. Obedience is of importance before you can taste a turning point. Number two key to turning, to enjoying turning point, is courage. Somebody say courage. God is not a God of fear. First, 2 Timothy chapter 2, chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. Our God is not a God of fear, but of power. Someone say power. Of love and of a sound mind. He's a God of love and sound mind. So what he wants for you is courage. That's what they call power. If there will be turning point for you, you must act with courage. Look at a boy of David of 17 years. In 1 Kings 17, I can also go through it fully. 1 Kings 17 from verse 22 to 52, you can read when you get home. How this young boy was sent to go and share food to his brothers. And as he got there, he saw how Goliath was mesmerizing the children of Israel. He saw how Goliath was bastardizing the children of Israel. And he said, who is this uncircumcised Philistine that is challenging the army of the living God? Courageous boy. Courageous boy. All the others were hiding their head. Saul was hiding his head. Eliab was hiding his head. Shammah was hiding his head. Everybody hiding their head. This boy came and said, no, I ain't hiding any head. May God give you the spirit of courage. He said, when I was taking care of my father's sheep, a lion came, took a sheep. I pursued it. I collected the sheep, dropped the sheep first, and I faced the lion. After that, a bear came, took a sheep. I pursued him, collected the sheep, put it down first, then faced him. Courage. No wonder when Moses was handing over to Joshua, the major thing he was telling him about to assess is courage. Everything he was telling him, oh boy, don't forget to, you must have courage. Joshua chapter 1, verse 6, be strong and be of good courage. Joshua 1, verse 6. Joshua 1, verse 7, only be thou strong and be very courageous. Everything he was telling him, oh boy, you need courage. You need courage. You need courage. You need courage. Only the courageous can prosper. I remember when my wife and I, when we were about to start ministry, I mean, at a higher level, we had been in ministry before then. People were talking, witches, wizard, this one, they can kill you, they can, you know, especially parents and people who are of higher in age, but not as high in spirituality. Praying to, this one, no. I asked a question, should I obey man and disobey God? Should I claim that God did not speak to me? Should I claim that God, these powers you are talking about are higher than my God? No! No! After Moses went to Pharaoh and told Pharaoh that God sent him, and then he threw his rod down and became a serpent, the magician also threw their own down. What happened? The snake swallowed up the others. That's how God will swallow up your problem today. That's how your God will swallow up every other small god and make them to disappear today in the name of Jesus. Can I hear your loudest amen? Can I hear your loudest amen? You know that song I sing often? Edumare gajuaye, Edumare gajua, Oba mimo gajuaye, Mare Oba mimo gajuaye,
Edumare gajuaye.
Nobody saying there's no aye. They are there. But they don't have power like our own God. Nobody's great. Nobody's great. Nobody's greater than you. Nobody's great. Nobody's great. Nobody's greater than you. God will show himself powerful in your life today. Can I hear your amen?
Amen.
So be courageous. Don't allow fear. What's going to happen? What's going to happen? How the future will be? I know how the future will be, to be very good. I know how the future will be. I can already see the future. I can perceive how the future will be. It will be very, 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 very glorious. No doubt. And I say this prophetically concerning somebody here today. Your future will be very, very alright. Your future will be very, very, very glorious. If I were you, I would say louder amen. So be courageous. Don't allow fear. Don't allow fear. Don't allow anything to make you fearful. What God has told you to do, begin to do it. Number three, key. Number three key to assessing turning point is change of mentality, or what you can call correct reasoning. Change of mentality, or what you can call correct reasoning. Stop giving life a magical approach. Give life a practical approach. Stop giving life a mystic, as if life is a mystery somehow. That no, give life. Many don't reason. That's why they don't enter into their season. That's a rhema. Many don't reason. That's why they don't enter into their season. Now, look at it. In Isaiah chapter 1 verse 18, Isaiah 1 verse 18, God said, come, let us reason together. Come. So, God thinks and reasons. In Proverbs 23 verse 7, Proverbs 23 verse 7, Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Things can't turn for you from poor to rich if you are still thinking poor. You can't become the scholar of your department if you are still thinking like a third class student. Your thinking affects your life till eternity. That's why when you see people that are in royal families, like in England and in some other places, even in Nigeria here, when they are born, immediately they will begin to push some thinking into their, you are a royal person. You can't do like this. You can't be walking on the, you can see many of us here, when you buy ice cream, you'll be taking it on this way. You can never see a king doing it. They teach them that a king doesn't eat on the road. A king doesn't wear bathroom slippers outside. Have you ever seen any king anywhere on the road with his rookie and with bathroom slippers outside? Lie, lie. If things
things must turn. Your thinking must turn. For example, you must know that nobody owes you anything in this life. Anything you get from anywhere is a privilege from God through those people. So don't feel that somebody is indebted to you. No! So you must take full responsibility for your life. It's important that every one of us must think, change our mentality for you to assess turning point. A very valid example tonight, I will not have time also to go into it in full detail, but you can write it down in Luke chapter 17 verse 11 all through to 24. It's the story of a boy called the prodigal son. A prodigal son. The Bible said this boy, the father had two sons. And having had two sons, the smaller one, the younger one, went to the father one day and said, "Daddy, I want my own portion of this, all this wealth you have. Give it to me now. I want it." And the Bible said that the father said, "Give it to him." And he started spending it. His thinking was wrong. His mentality was wrong. He started going to prostitutes. He started doing naira bets, Niger bets. Bet the Ninja. Which one again? Baba Jebu. Sure bet. He started betting, and then he bet his life away. He bet his life away. And after some time, he has squandered all his money. After he has squandered all his money, he suddenly began to think. In verse 17, Luke 15 verse 17, and when he came to himself, that is thinking. The story is in Luke 15 verse 11 or 2 to 24. Luke 15 11 to 24. Now in verse 17, God said, when he came to himself, that is, he began to reason. May you reason from tonight. Yes. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? How can I perish with hunger when my father's servants have money to spend? Will I die here with hunger, eating pig food? No. He came to himself. He said, I will arise. May you arise today. Yeah. That is, he retraced his step. He was a man who was able to correct his reasoning. My prayer for everyone here tonight is that God will give you the grace to correct your reasoning. Yeah. I said, God will give you the grace to correct your reasoning. Until you correct your mentality, fasting, you can fast for 40 days. You can even cut your lungs or cut your liver. It doesn't matter. Fast, and your all your system become disorganized. If your thinking is wrong, God can help you. So correct the way you think. 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 In Luke 18 verse 1, true desire a man having sat down, thinketh and intermeddle with all wisdom. Sorry, Proverbs 18 verse 1. Because I'm in a hurry, sorry. Proverbs 18 verse 1. True desire, a man, he will think and intermeddle with all wisdom. My prayer for somebody here tonight is that God will help you. I say God will help you. Because of my time, number 4. Major key. Major key to turning point is being a kingdom promoter. Someone say, be a kingdom promoter. Every kingdom promoter always enjoys sudden turning point. In Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and every other thing shall be added unto you. It's important that you embrace all avenues for you to advance the kingdom of God. All avenues. Evangelism avenue, service group avenue, giving avenue, offering and tithing. Every avenue you have to advance your own life, you pursue it. You embrace it. And every avenue that is in righteousness, that involves the kingdom of God. In your plan for the year, you must have your plan of what you plan to do for God. If God gives you the grace and the strength, you must have the budget of the number of churches you want to build for God. The number of bus you want to buy, number of chairs you want to buy per month. These are the things that brings turning point. It's not just crying to God, oh God, oh God, Oh God. God will say, Oh man, oh boy. Or you say, God, I must wear that latest wig. God say, God, forget it. Which wig? Every kingdom promoter enjoys turning point. You run towards things of God. He brings you into a turning point. You before they even say it, you run towards it. Not that you turn your ears away as if you did not hear. Every kingdom promoter, everyone advancing God's kingdom, everyone promoting the advancement of God's kingdom, looking for ways to which God's kingdom can progress, looking for ways to which things can work out. Things must work out for them. Somebody's here today. Things will work out for you. I'd like to hear your loudest amen. Your evangelism, your departmental service, your giving of your tithe and your offering shows your love for God and shows that you are a kingdom promoter and qualifies you for things to turn for you. That's why the Bible says that the path of the just is like a shining light, and it's shining more and more until the perfect day. Number five, I'll just take this one real quick and we close. Number five major key to turning point tonight is maintaining quality relationship with God. Every man or woman that has a relationship with God has a guaranteed turning point. The more robust your relationship with God, the better things get for you. When we talk about relationship with God, we are talking about your prayer life, your worship life. The Bible says, I've been young, now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his children begging for bread. There's no way you can run towards God and have a close relationship with God and then things will not turn for you. Psalms 34, verse 5, Psalm 34, and also verse 10. It says, I've been young, now I'm old, yet I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. Verse 10. Psalms 34, verse 10. The young lion do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord, will not lack any good thing. Also, go to verse 5. Also, they looked unto him, and their faces were lightened, and they were not ashamed. Verse 5. Thank you, Jesus. Quickly tonight, benefits of quality relationship with God. Number one, benefit of quality relationship with God is access to God. When you have quality relationship with God, you have access to God. Number two is favor. Benefit of quality relationship with God is access to God. And this brings a turnaround. Number two is favor. Number three is prosperity. Benefit of quality relationship with God. Number one is access to God. That is 5A, access to God. 5B, favor. 5C, prosperity. Everyone that has a relationship with God enjoys prosperity. Somebody is here, God will lead you into prosperity. Also, benefit of quality relationship with God is access to secrets. And tonight, God will give you access to secrets, which will bring a turning point for you. And 5E, benefit of quality relationship with God is help and assistance. Everyone that has a relationship with God enjoys help and enjoys assistance. 5F is progress. 5A is access to God. 5B is favor. 5C is prosperity. 5D is access to secrets. 5E is help and assistance. 5F is progress. And G is blessings. That will be your portion from today in Jesus' name. I hope I've been able to convince you and not confuse you. Praise the Lord. To have a quality relationship with God that will lead to a turnaround for you.
Wow. I know you must have been blessed by this message. Please feel free to worship with us at Impact House International Church, Praise Tabernacle, along Pipeline Road, Ilorin. For more inquiries, you can call 081-086-788-78. or visit our website www.impacthouseinternationalchurch.com.